The following podcast features topics discussed by geeks or under the supervision of nerds. Accordingly, Geek Life and its producers must insist that no one attempt to recreate or reenact any of the topics or bad impressions performed on this show.
What the fuck is up, Geek Life HQ people? We're rocking out at Denny's and then the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, we're having a hardcore show in a 7-Eleven at an undisclosed location.
Yes.
The best part of this show is when you mention memes that you sent me and Matt like throughout the weekend. It's like the listeners is like, you have no idea that he sent me like a meme about like a guy trying to pick up cool ranch Doritos, you know, at a hardcore show in a 7-Eleven. But you know, we're still gonna talk about it.
Of course we are, because that's what I'm good for all day, is sending memes.
Yeah.
My favorite one today that we had the long conversation on was that Monty Python quotes are not a marketable skill.
Oh my god. I beg to differ, sir.
I do beg to differ.
Now you stand in the pit and you stand on the box.
It's a flesh wound.
Your arm's off. No, it's not.
Let's call it a draw.
Did you get into like their other stuff? Like their or just Holy Grail? Were you into like Life of Brian at all?
I never really got into Life of Brian. I did. I got mostly into like the like recording stuff. Like
yeah, they had some good albums.
Yeah, like their albums I got into. But yeah, as far as movies, like pretty much you know, Monty Python was it, and that's just because it was like the movie I watched with my dad.
I get that. Yeah, he definitely showed me that the first time.
And then my dad loved it so much, then he got the PC game.
Spamlot.
It was awesome, dude.
I remember that. Yeah.
And yeah, me and him used to play that for hours. That was like our father son bonding time, was all surrounded around Monty Python.
Nice. Yeah, we used to watch the show a lot. And, you know, I talked to my dad about it. He's like, you know, the one thing I never liked about Monty Python is that they did a lot of topical British and like European stuff that I didn't really get. So we had to like go and look it up. You're like, oh, that's a prime minister, you know, and like yeah. They didn't really have a way besides like going to the library at the time and looking up who it is on like microfiche and stuff. And that was like totally my dad. Like he'd be like, yeah, okay. It's another Marxist reference. But like, oh, all right, good. Good for you to decode that. But
even without knowing it, there's some great ones like the Lumberjack song.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. The meaning of the word fuck. That's my all time favorite.
The dead parrot.
It's the most versatile word in the English language, the word fuck.
It's both a noun and verb.
it can denounce pain and love and excitement all at the same time.
It sounds like that history of swear words, too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, they had some great albums. But yeah, the Lumberjack song has always probably been my favorite. And then, yeah, the meaning of the word fuck.
We were really into this group that did like a radio show type thing called Fire Sign Theater. Right. So they were based out of the US, and they had some stuff like they did this character. It was all like radio drama stuff. They did Nick Danger, Third Eye. And, you know, in the case of the giant rat of Sumatra and stuff like that. And it was all like a 1930s, 1920s sort of radio detective drama, but it was like fake in the '70s. Oh man, they did some like crazy stuff. It was like if Kids in the Hall was on the radio and they just had like record albums and stuff like that.
You're saying like if they had a podcast.
You know what? I mean, kind of, you know, but it was like I guess it was kind of like a progenitor for podcast. Yeah, kind of like that. But you know how growing up you heard everybody had like the Cheech and Chong or the Bill Cosby record or Steve Martin. Oh, yeah. George Carlin records. It was kind of like that. So well, it was definitely comedy.
For our generation, it was the Chris Rock record and
Adam Sandler. They're All Gonna Laugh at You, right?
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, come on, that was great.
What comedy albums did you listen to coming up?
Well, of course,
Bigger and Blacker, I think was the Chris Rock one.
Yeah, I listened to that one.
Yep.
Listened to all the Adam Sandler ones.
I have one that has not aged well, and I think I was telling you this, the Sam Kennison Live from Hell.
Yeah.
It has not aged well at all.
And then another one I used to love was Rodney Carrington.
Oh yeah, yeah. You told me about that with the song that he has.
Yeah, because he used to had great just stupid country songs. And then
I had the what was it, the Blue Collar Comedy Tour?
Yeah, I never fully got. I mean, I liked him, but I never like bought CDs from him or anything like that.
I got it as a gift, and it was like, all right, let me check this out and all that. I liked Larry the Cable Guy because I thought, I'm like, you know what? I clearly understand that he's a character,
yeah,
and he's not like that's not him. Like, you know.
Oh, no. Have you ever heard him talk in his real voice?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
and I'm like, yeah, you know, he's pretty funny. He's relatable. I liked Bill Engvall a lot. I thought he was pretty funny. Never got Foxworthy, though.
See, I liked Foxworthy, but
he was the same one time, note, you know?
Yeah, but I guess, yeah, he's kind of the one-trick pony.
It's funny because I'm like, you know who's better than you, which shouldn't be, but, like, who is? Jeff Dunham is better than Jeff Foxworthy.
Possibly. I mean, I think it depends.
It depends on the
conversation.
Well, if it's puppets, I mean, yes. But, you know, I just mean, like, who makes me laugh. It's funny. We'll probably end up talking a bunch about stand-up and stuff like that this episode, because I've watched a couple.
Yeah, I mean, Dana Carvey was always a favorite.
Yeah, did he have an album?
He never had an album, but I just remember watching.
Dude, Jimmy Fallon has comedy albums. That's crazy
to me. Yeah, I never listened to a single one of them.
I never got Fallon's comedy. You know, and I think he's good where he is, and it's like, that's all well and good fine.
Yeah, that's about he's not a stand up to me. He's about
one guy that like struck it the luckiest out of anybody in all of Hollywood.
He's that guy that I like. I've heard the phrase before, and I think he is someone that has done it, and that is, you fail upwards.
Yep.
Like, he's never really succeeded anything, but he always fucking gets promoted to the next thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's either that or he's conjuring some sort of dark magic.
Yeah,
you
know? Something.
I don't know, man. It's funny because you used to be able to see a bunch of stand-up comedians and things like that. They would start off on like the Tonight Show and Letterman, and you know, then the Conan and all that. And that was like a good venue to like see these guys. And it was cool because it's like, then you'd have like Comedy Central. It's like, oh, it's their Up All Night special with Laura Keitlinger, you know, or like Harlan Williams. Actually, and Steve Wright too did it. And they'll like feature like new up and coming comedians and such. So,
yeah, I mean, there was so, I'm drawing a blank on some of the people I used to listen to because there was a Hispanic guy. He passed away. I fucking loved listening to him.
The ghost of Carlos Mencia.
No, it wasn't Carlos Mencia. I can't think of it, but I used to love him especially because I got my nephews to listen to him one day, and even they fell in love with it because they related to it, because it sounded like how their dad talks to him.
Oh yeah.
Because he was like, yeah, you know, I go home, my dad, he's like, you know, you gotta look for it. Where? Look in the left. I can't see it. Well, look more lefter. And then he's like, my dad used to ask, how many S's are in the word chicken?
Zero. Oh my god. I liked back in the day, I really liked Ralphie May.
Yeah.
I love seeing it's great now that you've got like these reels and clips and stuff that you can see, because I mean I was big on Mitch Hedberg, and you talked about it was the other John Panette.
Yeah, like, John Panette was.
Yeah, three guys there that have passed away, but it's like you can like at a moment's notice get to any of their comedy.
And I love that because John Panette, I think, because I was always a bigger guy, so I think I was related to him on like a level, especially because, you know, he was in Revenge of the Nerds and stuff. So
yeah, he was in The Next Generation. Yeah, I think it was the third movie.
But yeah, I used to fucking love John Panette because I was just like, dude, I totally relate to you.
Hey, he made it onto Saturday Night, or not Saturday Night Live, In Living Color.
Yeah.
You know, so dude,
he was hilarious. I love like the chicken one where he's talking about KFC. You wait in line and then, what's on the menu? They got chicken. Or chicken.
Yeah, and I mean, he was the guy in the last episode of Seinfeld that was the reason that they all unceremoniously went to jail.
Yep, yep. He was definitely a small screen actor, but yeah, he was great.
It is funny. They had some good people there. I mean, have you ever heard Tommy Davidson stand up?
I've heard his older stuff. I don't know if he has any new stuff.
I doubt. I don't know. I mean, he's still touring, so.
Yeah, he does. Actually, he was, he had a show in Schaumburg not too long ago at the Improv, and I thought about going, but I just didn't make it.
Yeah, I think we looked at going to one of them or something, but it didn't work out for our busy schedules.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I was like David Alan Greer, you know?
Oh, I mean, dude, I would say the 90s was probably prime time for stand-up.
More so than the 80s?
I think so.
Let's weigh them, all right? So 80s, you have prime Rodney Dangerfield. Because I'm saying 80s were prime because, you know, he had 50s on.
Yeah.
Carlin's still in it. You have Eddie Murphy. You have Richard Pryor, just, you know, like the early 80s were probably like right before he started going down. So, because it was right around then. He was supposed to be in Blazing Saddles, I guess.
Yeah.
It didn't quite work out. I lit my ass on fire. Yes.
We're going to need a shitload of nickels.
let's see who else you have. You have Bill Hicks, right? And then you have, you got like some of the other guys.
He still had Cosby.
Larry Miller, Seinfeld, you'd have Jay Leno. Yeah,
Seinfeld was coming out.
These guys love Leno too. I never thought he was that funny.
What was his name? Fuck, the guy who sold Boku Juice had the. That
was Richard Lewis.
Yeah, no, was that Richard Lewis?
Yeah, okay, that's Richard Lewis. Who was then? There was Richard Belzer too, and Robert Klein. All
who's
these guys.
The dude that looked like Richard? Oh, fuck.
Dark glasses that just died.
I can't remember. Fuck.
That's Richard Belzer.
I'll just shut up.
Okay, no worries. See, I've got like a treasure trove of 80s comedians here. And you've got like what, Paula Poundstone, you know, Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, I mean, dude, okay, maybe Ellen. 80s and 90s are equally tied.
Well, let's look at 90s, right? So let's go exclusively 90s. So you've got Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, Dana Carvey's both, so 80s and 90s, but he's more stand up.
There's kinda a lot of people that are both, but I would say 90s is like when they hit their prime.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd put Dana Carvey in the 90s for that.
Yeah.
Let's see.
The Wayans brothers.
Wayans brothers, yep. Yep, they're definitely 90s.
Except Jim Carrey.
Damon. Yeah, he's 80s because he came up with Rodney Dangerfield, found him.
But 90s is when he took off.
Not his stand-up, though, because he started acting in the 80s, and that's kind of like his stand-up is. But like look at Robin Williams. Robin Williams, 70s, prime in the 80s, you know.
Then once he got off cocaine, yeah, that stand-up kind of stopped.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what stopped that man. I feel like cocaine slowed him down, you know. Yeah, I don't know how we missed that one for the 80s. But Jim Varney, comedian from the 80s, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Maybe the 80s do win when you, because thinking
Dice
about
Clay. Okay,
even some of them are like late 80s. Yeah. So, I guess 80s does win. I was wrong.
I feel like, well, I just feel like that was the rock stars, because then after that, you've got like, all right, you got your David Spade, your Dennis Miller, your Adam Sandler. It's like these are like some of the biggest guys now. Norm MacDonald would pass.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we have all those guys, but it's like they all came from like the greats of the 80s.
Yeah, and Rob Schneider.
And in the 2000s, you have a very brief period with Greg Giraldo.
Yeah. And it's like now, it's like you get like a great comedian like once every couple of years now. That's the sad part, because people are just, I don't know, they're too sensitive, I guess, so it's hard to be as funny.
Well, that's why I think we need another Norm MacDonald or Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think the problem too is people are afraid to laugh at things that they even are passionate about. Like, that was the great thing about the 80s and the 90s. You could be like, I'm so passionate about that, but that shit's funny. Nowadays, people are just like, oh, I'm offended at that.
It's well,
like,
that
just fucking laugh at it. It's
that kind of leads me into what I watched today, and I know that you'll appreciate this. Have you checked out Razzle Dazzle from Bert Kreischer?
No.
I don't know how you feel about Bert Kreischer, you know, aka
I have
the Machine.
Mixed feelings, because there's sometimes where I'm like, he's fucking funny. And then there's times where I'm like, he's kind of annoying.
He locks into this variety of dad humor for me that just, yeah. I'm like, oh man, he hits it. And he goes back and forth from being like a stupid oaf, you know, to being like an incompetent human being, incompetent father and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, and he has so much energy. Like just that, he makes me laugh, man. Like just like so much more. Like we were talking about that Chris Rock special, which I thought was okay. You know,
I didn't enjoy it. I'll be honest.
It took me a long time to get warmed up though. And then I'm like, all right, you got me, Chris. All right. But like Kreischer, I'm laughing at like his third line.
Yeah. That's, you know, what, to me, that makes a great comedian is when they can grab you in the first couple of minutes. They're like, mm-hmm. they got you rolling. They come out swinging hard, and maybe the show kind of tapers off towards the end. That's not as great. I would rather leave on a lower note than start out on a low note.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You got to hit him with a bang and start out pretty
strong. And I think that's like how Chappelle wins the crowd now. But the thing about Chappelle though is his show's pretty rock solid the whole time.
Like Chappelle's not always telling jokes though. No, like he's up there like Carlin just philosophizing. He's like, and that's why you can never park your car in the, you know, it's like, oh, okay. You know, it's like, but, all right, but that wasn't a joke.
It's not a joke, but I guess it's the delivery of it.
Yeah.
The delivery of it makes it funny.
Yeah. He's storytelling up there.
Yeah. Cause I mean, even when he's telling the story of like Jussie Smollett, dude, that's that fucking shit. I don't know how many times I've listened to it, but I've cracked up so many times listening to that. I still crack up listening to it.
Can you believe that guy actually canceled himself? You know, it's like,
and then still to this day proclaims he's innocent.
Oh, well, of course, you know. why not? You know, it's crazy.
Because, yeah, dude, that Chappelle skit when he talks about that, dude, I've listened to that probably 100 times, and I still laugh every time I hear it.
Wow, and it's relevant, too, because that's only, like, 3 years old.
Yeah, no, I crack up at that every time.
That's so funny. The reason that I kind of went down this road is I listened to the Fly in the Wall podcast, David Spade, Dana Carvey, and they had Bert Kreischer on.
Yeah.
Oh, man, does he have energy. And he's doing, I guess when they recorded this, he was doing his sober October or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm 28 days without a drink. You know, he's got some great stories to tell, man. It's real funny.
Yeah. No, I was speaking of comedians on podcasts. I was listening to Tiger Belly today, which is Bobby Lee's.
Oh, nice. Podcast. Yeah. He was talking about Bobby Lee and they were. Yeah.
Yeah, they had Carlos Mencia on to talk about him stealing jokes.
Wow.
And Carlos Mencia fucking still to this day is like, I haven't stole anything. I don't know who to apologize to.
Wow.
I'm like,
so what did Bobby Lee say? Was he like diplomatic about it?
Bobby Lee, he tries to remain neutral because I understand where he's coming from. Because Bobby Lee got his start from Carlos Mencia.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be Carlos's opening act.
Oh, okay. So this was pre-Man TV?
Yeah, so he has that loyalty up to a point. But even like the way he talks about it, he's kind of like, well, if you did and you just unintentionally didn't mean to do it, you know, you should still apologize for it, blah, blah, blah. Because even he was like, because Carlos Mencia, he has a skit where he's talking, if you watch it, it's pretty much verbatim the Bill Cosby joke that was famous about, you know, a dad and a son.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dude, you know, you ripped that off because it is oddly close. It's like, there's a couple of little differences, but it's the same thing. And even Bobby Lee was like, dude, he's like, you have to say that they're really similar. He's like, come on. So, yeah, but Carlos Mencia the whole time was just like, I don't know who to apologize to. I didn't steal jokes. I've never stole jokes.
Well, you know, the funny thing about Kreischer, he had Bobby Lee on, I guess, like a cooking show that he does called Something's Burning.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how he got his start, and I guess he was discovered by Will Smith, which is friggin' weird. And then, like, the other part of this is I didn't realize that they loosely based Van Wilder on him.
Hmm.
So it was like the whole idea. He spent like 6 years in college down in Florida, and he was like trying to figure out what to do. And he's like, well, I guess I'll go for another minor. You know, he just had no direction. And he was voted the number one partier at the number one party school in the country in like 1997.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where he came from. And he's like, all right, you know.
Like, you want to know who's actually really funny at stand-up? Is Daniel Tosh.
Is he really? I wouldn't have thought.
Dude, I actually, if you watch his show, you're like, okay, he's got some funny times. If you go watch one of his comedy specials, they're actually funny.
He's kind of a smug guy. So
he is smug.
I kind of want to like hit him. You know?
Dude, he has some great jokes that like are they border that racial humor stuff, but it's hilarious with the delivery.
Okay.
And like he's actually pretty good. Like he's one of those ones that you're like, his show, he's okay. And then you watch, you're like, dude, he's better.
I'll check him out.
He's better at stand up than he is on his show.
Do they have him on Netflix or Hulu or anything?
You'd probably have to YouTube it.
Okay. Yeah, no, YouTube's fine.
I mean, I'm sure they have one on Netflix if you really dug deep, but yeah, YouTube's I think probably the best bet for him.
I'll give him his due. You know, if I watched like what was her name, Fortunate something, you know, the girl with the curly hair or like Tig Notaro or something like that, I'm like, I got nothing to lose.
Are there any comedians you can't stand? Like if you hear them talk, you're like, oh God, I fucking hate this person.
Besides Jeff Foxworthy, you mean?
Yeah,
that's one of them. I mean, I guess it's tough to think of them off the top of my head, but
for me, it's Amy Schumer. Can't fucking stand her.
Yeah, you never really liked her. I mean, I like Amy Schumer. I thought she was so good on Saturday Night Live. I think she's really good in sketches, and she doesn't get and actually, I think she's pretty decent as an actress. I really liked her in Trainwrecked.
Yeah. I don't even care for her as an actress. I just don't care for her.
Well, I get that. And I mean, why would you like movies that she's in and stuff like that if you don't like her in her comedy? So
yeah, I mean, but I don't know. There could be people that could change my mind and I'm like, okay, I don't really like them, but that was a pretty fucking good movie.
Oh, I don't like Joe Rogan's comedy. I find it it's like incredibly aggressive and like just like, he's like, and I'm like, all right, where's the joke?
Yeah,
I'm
never
waiting for the joke, guy.
I never really thought he was all that great. Yeah,
yeah, I'm like, you know, like, and don't get me wrong, like, great podcaster. The guy can act. I love him when it comes to like calling MMA matches and stuff like that. So I'm not gonna say I'm not a Joe Rogan fan because I am.
Yeah, I like his podcast. He's great at his podcast.
I think it's funny that it's like it's such a like a polarizing thing. It'd be like, well, he's spreading misinformation. I'm like, I don't really think so. I think he's expressing his opinion.
Yeah, like he's just talking another side of the coin that, you know, and he's just having a conversation. He's not out there going, hey, go do this now.
And who else is talking to guys like Alex Jones or some of these other kooks?
Well, that's the thing.
He's literally
that, like,
lit some of these kooks up too.
Well, that's the thing is like, you can't knock the guy because he doesn't just sit there and talk to like one type of person. He talks to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't matter. He'll have a conversation with whoever wants to come on his show.
And I think, like, in all honesty, all they ever had to do instead of, like, apologizing and stuff like that is say, hey, these are my personal opinions. They're not meant to lead you to anything else. Yeah. I make decisions for myself based on what I believe. And I'm not, you know, here to be a role model to you or anything. You know, and let's discuss the stuff and I'll tell you what's right for me. You can decide for yourself.
Yeah, it's not this show. This show, take everything that we say is 100% truth and do what we say.
Absolutely. Buy bullion, not the gold stuff. Buy the stuff to go in soup. It's going to go up.
It probably will.
You know, like salt and garlic. And
banks are failing, so that probably will. So that bullion might be worth more than bullion.
Dude, so here it is. You know, I was working for a mortgage company, and I got let go in January. And it's like now looking at the industry, and I'm like, they must be shitting their pants again. Every conversation that I have with someone I used to work with, they're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like, man, I had to get out of that industry anyway. It's insane. Everybody's like afraid that they're going to get fired. And I'm like, eventually it's going to come back, but it's like, it's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
It's like four banks failed in the last week. And one of them was the Silicon Valley one.
Yeah. Not to worry though.
Oh yeah, yeah. Don't worry. Well, you know, that's the thing too. It's like this. What does it have to do with? It has to do with like bullshit investments and greed. And I wonder how much of this had to do with like Dogecoin and crypto and all that.
Oh, who fucking knows, dude? That's the problem. Is just people get greedy and then they fuck things up.
You know, it's funny. I remember maybe this time last year, you know, was like the death throes of it, and you'd still hear people going, "Oh, invest in crypto and all that." I have not heard since 2023 started one person mention crypto.
The market on it has died down. Is it dead? No, Bitcoin still trades pretty good. I mean, I still have money in Bitcoin.
Well, isn't Bitcoin is crypto, but then there's your other like your meme
stuff. Oh yeah, I mean like Dogecoin and stuff. Yeah, nobody touches that shit anymore.
And like GameStop stocks, I think people are still holding on to it, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, they're just holding it, but you know, who knows what that's going to go, because they just started closing a whole bunch of other stores.
Yeah.
We can't have nice things, man. That's no. any physical place is just like, nope, too expensive.
And it's sad. And it's going to be demolition, man, soon, where they're just like, all places are Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of.
Would you accompany me to Amazon?
Gosh, it's like, oh, I need to buy a third shell.
Yeah.
You know,
either that, or we're definitely going to go towards Idiocracy, where everyone's just like, I got my law degree at Costco.
Nice. And what does he say? This drink's got the stuff you need. You
know? Yeah, and Matt, he can see the president right now, because Terry Crews is going around Austin right now, South by Southwest, dressed as President Camacho.
I love that. And that's definitely my number one favorite Terry Crews role. And and I love Terry Crews. Like, anything the man's in, I'm like, I will see that shit.
I don't know why the plants aren't growing. We give them Gatorade. It's got electrolytes.
It's got the stuff that people need. You got to use water. What a classic. Did you know that Mike Judge did an animated thing about like outlaw country, like life on the tour bus? Did you get
to no check I didn't that out? I did not know that.
I don't know what channel it was on or something. I was just talking to my friend Ted about it, because we were talking a bit about outlaw country, and he said that Mike Judge had this whole thing of like Tales from the Tour Bus, and he was talking about, you remember that guy that showed up on the Norm Macdonald Show, was Billy Joe Shaver? Like, yeah, he literally like shot a guy in the face. Like, what? So, but I guess there's like animated versions of this stuff, and it's all like animated and directed by Mike Judge. I'm like, I would check that out. Absolutely.
I would probably watch. I mean, Mike Judge shit's always good.
Yeah, he's he's another savant. He's like a underrated sort of creator too, for everything that he's contributed.
Dude, he's given us some great movies and stuff. So.
Probably just as much as Kevin Smith. He's, you know, if anything, you know.
Yeah. I would say
he probably has more. He probably has better stuff than Kevin Smith.
Dude, I mean, yeah, Kevin Smith has Jay and Silent Bob. Outside of Jay and Silent Bob, Kevin Smith doesn't have much.
I'm not going to give him too much credit for King of the Hill, though, because that was never, like, my jam. But, you know, you've got Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill. You've got the sketches, my stapler, you know, and then you've got, you know, from Saturday Night Live and, like, the animation he did there. You've got Office Space, which is, like, one of the best cult movies of all time.
Yeah, then you got Idiocracy.
Idiocracy, yep. Silicon Valley. That's already six.
I mean, that right there is like good enough for me. And then he did Daria.
Yep.
And Extract.
I don't know. I think like somebody else wrote and produced Daria, but he definitely created it.
Airheads.
He did Airheads.
Yeah, I mean, it's on his IMBD. I don't know his.
Oh, he was in that when he did the Beavis and Butthead. Did we see you guys at the Wheel Well? You suck.
And then don't tell me he was part of that shit.
The Chase?
No, Sandy Wexler.
Probably.
I don't know.
That's it. And I don't know if he's ever done stand up, because he seems like kind of a shy person, but
he must have been in the movie as an actor, because thank God he doesn't have any writing or producing credits on it.
Yeah, it must be.
I don't know why he's. Yeah, I don't see him anywhere. Please don't. That movie was terrible. But yeah, I mean,
Extract was an interesting film.
Extract wasn't bad.
It's not great, It's not bad. It's middle of the road.
It's one of those movies where you're like, you watch it and you're like, that wasn't horrible, but I'll never watch it again.
100% agree.
Yeah, like that's absolutely what that movie is. It's like, it's not bad, but
I would rather watch that Changing Places movie with Jason Bateman and what's his name? Ryan Reynolds. Yep.
Who's a fucking super rich dude now?
Yeah, when they both pee in the fountain. Yep. Oh, because he sold Mint Mobile.
Yeah, they sold Mint Mobile for $1.6 billion.
So he can buy more soccer teams.
Yeah, because you know he doesn't have enough. He doesn't have enough good things going for him in life.
Everything goes my way.
like I was telling Jeanette, I was just like, yeah, life is rough when you're incredibly good looking.
Yeah, I know, guy. He's got to have something else coming out before Deadpool, I imagine.
Dude, he can just finance Deadpool himself now.
I don't know. I mean, he's rich, but he's not Disney rich.
Dude, he's got enough to make a movie.
I don't know about that. Like, just in terms of things, I wonder about those things. Like, Tom Cruise, yes. But even then, it like wouldn't make sense for him to just put it out there. But like,
he's got an aviation gin. He's got all that.
You know who makes more money than actors is music, like musicians. So I'd say like Elton John, yes. Elton John can make his own movie. You know,
okay. Ryan Reynolds' net worth is $350 million,
which is still less than the budget on like some of these movies.
What was the last Deadpool's budget? So $110 million was the last.
So one third of his net worth is that right? What the budget of that film? Yeah, I'm just saying that the films they cost a lot more.
Considering it grossed.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
How much money did it gross?
$1 billion.
$784 million worldwide.
Good.
So he can make his money back.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at it too, you'd have to literally take everything that you owned, liquid assets and stuff, and do that. I don't think it pans out.
Okay, but it's going to be a guarantee fucking... It's not like one of those...
I hope so,
like,
yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, though, even if Deadpool 3 was a complete fucking trash movie, if he just because he was like, at this point, just to be like, I'm going to make it, people will go watch it.
And then I agree.
He would make a fuck ton of money back. And then he can laugh to the bank.
It's going to make like that kind of money too, because it's going to have Hugh Jackman in it. Like, I'm going to see it. You're going to see it. You know, it's like, it's not going to be like Morbius, you know?
No, that's, I'm just saying though, like he could come out with a complete dumpster trash movie and everybody's going to go see it. Cause the last two set the bar pretty high.
Yeah, that's fair. And then they released that second one as a PG-13 version, which was hilarious. That was such a brilliant plan, you know?
Yeah.
So we just had the Oscars. Did you watch any of the Best Picture nominations this year?
I didn't watch any of the Oscars at all because I don't give a fuck about the Oscars.
I didn't watch the ceremony. I just paid attention afterwards to see who won and stuff. I've been meaning to watch The Whale because I have it. So I've got to watch that. But I loved Everything Everywhere All at Once. I thought it was so cool.
I still haven't watched it.
It's like the closest movie that I can relate it to is Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay, I'll be honest. I did start watching it. I got about 10 minutes in and I fell asleep.
Yeah, that seems like something that would happen. I mean, was Sonic the Hedgehog in it?
God, yeah. That movie knocks me out every time. I don't care.
Yeah, how I don't know. Times. It's like visual Dramamine for you.
Dude, there are two movies that I don't care. Actually, no, there's three. There are three movies that even if I try to watch them, I will fall asleep. Nice. I don't know why, but they are Boss Baby. I have yet to ever make it through Boss Baby. I always fall asleep.
Yep.
Sonic the Hedgehog, as you witnessed, I have fallen
twice. Asleep. Yeah.
And Star Wars Rogue One.
Oh wow! Okay, cool.
I get to be able to finish Rogue One. I fall asleep every time.
Mine is The Last Kiss Goodnight with Samuel L. Jackson and Geena Davis. I have tried to watch that movie several times since 1996, and there's like some secret, formula in there that literally puts me to sleep. And
dude, I fucking love that movie.
It's a great movie. Everybody tells me you got to see this movie. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I have tried.
Dude, that's like when people are like, Rogue One, so amazing. I'm like, I have yet to make it through it, so I'm gonna disagree with you on that.
All right, I'm gonna shift on my heels and segue into this next topic, seeing as how you mentioned Rogue One. Mandalorian episode 3, watched it today. Holy shit, what a snooze fest.
Yeah, it was definitely an episode. I'm like, what does this have to do with anything?
I'm watching it with my wife Sarah, and we are both checking our phones during The Mandalorian. That should not happen, and it's just like, oh wow. And we just looked at each other and we're like, I'm so bored.
Yeah, like the opening scene was cool with the TIE fighters and stuff. I was like, okay, cool, this is going in the right direction. And then when it went to the doctor and I was like, what the fuck does this even have to do with anything? Like, I would get it maybe if like they had this news fest, but at the end like they revealed something and you're like, holy shit,
they didn't. Nothing.
No, it literally just nothing. And you're like, what was the point of this fucking episode?
It's a long setup for something else. And it's like, oh, okay, this person double crossed you, but they're probably going to triple cross you and we're going to see Moff Gideon again or something. I'm like, I don't understand. And it's so irrelevant. Like they had zero. Like I will say this. Was that rabbit from Super Troopers?
No.
I thought that was him. I thought he was one of those amnesty people. Let me check this out.
I don't think so.
Let's see. It's going to be great. People hear us typing and shit. Because that's Eric what? Stonecase or something?
This is what we do, people.
Yep. Eric Stonecase. Rabbit. All right, let's see what we got. We got no one from Club Dread. Yep. Actor upcoming. Quasi Vendor Super Troopers 2.
So
no, it looked like him.
Yeah, no, there's no real big names in this episode. You had
I thought that was him.
No. There's no big Easter egg.
Yeah, there's really not much.
Like I would be honest, dude. Mandalorian, like, came for season one. They came out swinging with like the guest like appearances and stuff.
Yeah, it's season two, first episode. John Leguizamo. No, well, I mean, you've got what's her face doing Bo-Katan, and you've got Amy Sedaris, right? Yeah. Is back, and you've got
I'm just saying, like the first like couple of seasons, like you had like Zach Braff is one of them. You had what's his name from
Horatio Sands. Lasso.
You had Horatio Sands. You had
Brian Posehn.
Yeah, dude, you had like so many just random things like hidden to where you didn't know who the actor was until you
were Bill Burr, Clancy Brown. You know, it's like, yeah, you got some crazy
Nick Nolte.
Yeah, that's right. This is
dude, I'm just saying, like, you had all these ones where you're like, I know that voice. Like, who the fuck's voice is that? This year is none of them.
Oh, my friend just texted me that The Fury of Shazam is excellent. And I'm like, good.
I'm glad. I'm
looking forward to that.
Yeah. There's some good movies coming out.
Yeah. We hit like the doldrums in January and it's like, yeah, just. That's usually what happens. It's like there's usually one or two bangers that's out, but I mean, the theaters are still coasting by playing Avatar: The Way of Water. And all
yeah.
Like, no wonder it's making so much money. You're leaving it in the theaters and there's nothing else, you know, yeah. on.
There's Scream.
Yeah, Scream. I didn't see the most recent one, which I want to say was 6.
Yeah, the last one was not good.
Yeah, you had mentioned.
Yeah, when they killed David Arquette, I'm like, dude, even his scene just seems like he was like, can you please kill me so I don't have to come back?
Yeah, I don't know if he wants like that con money, you know, where it's like, will you sign this picture of Ready to Rumble? No, I will not.
Yeah, dude, like, that's what I'm just saying. Like, that last Scream movie, they had that kill scene. It was totally like, he definitely seemed like he was just like, can you kill me? Because I'm tired of coming here.
Well, I just want to wrap up quick on The Mandalorian. This was a bummer episode. It was not great.
No, probably the worst episode they've ever put out.
I think that it's the writing in this one, because I was looking at the writer and it was different than some of the other ones. And I mean, this was like, I would prefer to watch The Book of Boba Fett over this one.
Yeah.
So it's like, obviously you have to see it to progress the plot and all that. But oh, what were they thinking?
Yeah, they could have added a little more cutscenes to Mando, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been better, but yeah, it is what it is. Hopefully next episode's good.
Yeah, let's hope.
Let's hope. But so one thing I wanted to talk about, because kind of like almost grinds my gears. Because I told you about it. I want to talk about tonight about fucking trends that need to die.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Number one on my list is fucking TikTok dance videos.
Okay. Okay.
They need to die. I'm tired of them.
TikTok dance videos. I mean,
dude, I'm getting so annoyed with the fucking dance videos of like, oh, I'm divorcing my husband today. Let's make a dance video. Oh, my fucking dog got run over by my car. Let's do a fucking dance video.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's very Idiocracy, isn't it? You know,
it is, dude. Like, yeah. I'm just like, what the fuck? And then today they're like, oh, they're talking again about banning TikTok. I'm like, please do.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like my kids enjoy it and, you know, it's well and good and fine. And, you know, they're like, oh, their Chinese are stealing secrets. I'm like, what are you going to get? A picture of them picking their nose? Yeah. You know, it's like, I'm not on it. I don't.
Well, no, the issue, I think, is government employees downloading it on their phones.
Yeah. Well, they're already not allowed to have any social media on their stuff. And
yeah,
realistically, they would have a separate phone anyway. You know, yeah. Like, I mean, when I worked at a company and I was doing something, they're like, here, you get a second phone so we don't have to worry about security. Cool. Yeah. You know, that way you can text your clients and you can do all this and you don't have to worry about it.
But yeah, no. TikTok dance videos need to die, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to disagree with you. It's something I don't care about. You know, so it's like,
and another TikTok trend that I fucking am just like, people stop is crying into the camera about shit.
Yeah, I don't get like, that at all.
Like, stop, just stop.
Well, that was always one of those things where it's like, you know, I knew people and I would see like their girlfriends or whatever at the time, like putting stuff up on Facebook about like how they had a fight and all that. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, I was at your house for this barbecue. Like, what is she talking about? Like, oh, thoughts and prayers for what? Like, you guys had an argument because you didn't want to go back out and get ice.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's crazy to me, you know. It's
because people starve for attention, and it's like,
yeah, yeah, it's like just like silly shit, you know. And
attention is a drug, man. So
it absolutely is. That's what God, who's saying it? Chris Rock was saying that. He's like, yeah, that's the biggest drug in the world right now.
It is. It fucking is. And that wasn't a joke. He was just making a statement. I'm like, that is true. That's 100% true.
Going back to Kreischer in his interview, he was saying it's like back in 96, unless you did something like real world road rules or something, he's like, it was impossible for you to become famous under 25.
Yeah.
Now look at this. And you've got like these kids doing like reviews on YouTube and stuff like that. And it's like literally everybody can be famous. Look at us. You and I, number one show in Turkey, you know, like all of that stuff, all of that fame is like so easily grasped, you know? And I mean, we obviously have been working for it and stuff like that. Yeah. Is it earned? I don't know. We put the time in, you know, but like other than that, it's not like we sell a product. It's not like we go and, you know, what I'm saying is, Justin, we're not supposed to be famous. We're part of the problem. So
we're not famous, though. It's okay.
No, we're not. We are so not. We have been recognized, though. So yes. that is fun. Yeah.
But not famous at all.
No, definitely not.
But so that's one thing. What's another fucking trend? OnlyFans. OnlyFans needs to fucking die too.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Like, it's interesting. There's I guess a new documentary on Netflix about this and how it's like transforming. I think did you see that? I guess it was like
I saw the ad for it. I didn't watch it, but
I kind of this is a tough one because it's one of those things where it's like I don't know if I have enough information to like validate it with proper conversation. However, I will say this. I'm not going to doubt that somebody sitting at their desk creating content, you know, keeping up with social media messages and all that is not doing work. They are.
Yeah,
absolutely doing work.
I don't deny that.
I personally have feelings about it when, you know, someone's like, oh, I make my living this particular way. I'm like, I would not contribute to that. I don't want to harsh somebody's gig, though, as you know, to quote Stoney from Encino Man. I mean, more power to you. If you're marketing yourself and yourself is your product and someone's willing to invest in that, more power to you, man. I'm never going to spend money on that.
That's because men are stupid.
Yeah. I mean, and it does kind of prey on the lonely and things like that. Yeah. And, you know, you talk about like simp culture and stuff like that. And, you know, it's not something I've ever been a part of or interested in. And
it's a virtual strip club. It's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's, I mean, I used to deal with people when I was a bank manager and they're like, I accidentally spent $90 on this. You got to help me. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? You know, and they're like, you got to tell my wife it's a mistake. I'm like, oh, no. You know, it's like, I mean, and I literally tell them and be like, man, there's like certain latitudes that I can go to. I am literally not going to lie for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, if she comes in and asks me something specifically about your joint account, I will tell her. But nobody else can know, you know, because
that's why. Well, dude, I just laugh at the longstanding joke. Like when you hear these OnlyFans girls on like podcasts and stuff, and they're like, "I know my value," and it's like, "Yeah, it's $6.99 a month."
Well, I mean, that's the thing too. Like, whatever happens if like the internet goes down, what are they gonna do? You know, it's like, oh, I know.
They have no skills other than spreading their butt cheeks under the name Mike Honcho.
If this is how they make their money and all that, I don't want to harsh it. You know, it's like I said, it's not for me. You know, I just, there's just like a certain trope that I don't like when all someone does is sit around and watch anime all day, smoking weed and then complain that they don't have money. I dislike that greatly. I think that is like the number one. I'll be like, look, I can understand a hustler who's, you know, like a legit hustler who's out there marketing themselves, doing the work, doing all this stuff. I respect the crap out of that, you know, and no matter what you're doing, I'm not going to judge you. Do your thing. Again, not for me. You know, don't send me your emails because I don't want your shit. But like, other than that, good for you. But
I know, I send you my emails all the time. You never.
Yeah, I mean, never, not once. That's good. But if it's a circumstance where it's like someone's just lazy and waiting around and they think they're going to get by just like on the barest minimum of sort of effort, you know what, man, you don't deserve success.
No. So that's another trend that annoys me is vaping. Vaping annoys me.
Yeah, I agree. It's not for me.
It's not for me either.
We'll probably alienate some listeners here. Look, if you're trying to quit smoking, I support you in whatever you're doing.
Okay,
you
know, that's here's the difference. Totally fine. There's people who vape to smoke, and then there's people who just vape nonstop.
I want to talk about vape culture
all day.
Let's talk about vape culture because vape culture, right? Where you go and you get like these really big batteries, or you'll get like some special thing, and you'll like switch it out and like put something on it. I'm like, okay, so you're one of those guys that back in the day played paintball, and you'd buy the gun and customize it, and you'd have to have like all the accessories and stuff like that. And then when you got a little older, you bought a car. You got yourself a Honda so you can get the road kit, you know, and put the spoiler on the back. And then you could, you know, oh, well, I got this and I put nitrous in it and I got the speakers and all that. I get it. I know who you are as a person. And now that translates to your wife won't let you get a car, you know, or you can't afford a car like that, or you can't put the big speakers on it or anything. So now you've got to trick out your vape machine. You know, and I don't know, smoking on your hoverboard, whatever the hell you're doing. But yeah, those things are so annoying.
And they traded in their JNCO jeans for vape pens.
100%. I agree with that because it's the same sort of addiction. And I agree with you, Justin, because it's like they're going to go the way of internet cafes. Like when internet cafes popped up and all that in the 90s, that's what you see now with all these vape shops. And literally, I kid you not, you can go to any town in this country and you'll find like there's probably a vape shop in every strip mall.
Oh, dude, it's
shop. Sorry.
Right now, I'll be honest. Okay. Marijuana use and all that, I don't care. Do what you want to do in your own time. I don't give a fuck.
I think it's awesome.
do I want to smell it everywhere I go?
No.
And that does annoy me, but if you want to do it in your house, fucking go for it. But the thing that annoys me, every time fucking something closes down, either a vape shop or a dispensary opens up, and I'm like, can we get something else?
You know what? Take an edible like a regular human being. You want to smoke and all that, and you're going to smoke old school and all that, that's totally fine. But I don't need to be at a stoplight behind somebody. And then, you know, when they take off, I take off in a big puff of, cherry shisha or whatever. I'm like, what is in this shit?
That's the thing. Like, I just don't need to smell it everywhere. Like, it's fucking potent everywhere. So, yeah, I don't care. Do what you want to do. But, yeah, just have some common courtesy.
Yeah, I definitely think it's interesting on how, you know, kids now have a different perspective on it than we did because it was something that was very illegal. And it was
I was talking to Shanette about that. It's like the difference is when the thing that like our generation sometimes has a hard time like grasping, some people definitely, is it was pounded into us from childhood. Like,
oh, yeah,
weed is bad. Don't do weed. Yeah, and then now it's like, oh, yeah, go for it.
I think it's like the science finally caught up with enough people who are like, look, we can make some money on this, and it's honestly not that bad. And it's going to – and what really helps is, like, we don't need to overcrowd the prison systems, and we don't need to get the justice system involved in all this. It's like, okay, let's do it. And it's proven now that it's an excellent source of income for taxes and all that. And it's like, good, man, do it. I go super far with this, Justin, because I think they should legalize prostitution.
I mean, they might as well. But
she didn't like that.
Well, no, it's like I tell everybody, okay, when it comes to prostitution, the reason it is not, it will be legal one day, but first they have to figure out how they can tax it because they don't know how to tax it yet.
This is the thing. And again, like this goes back to our OnlyFans conversation. I have no interest in any of this. I'm never going to do it, never going to use it. But that doesn't mean that I can't benefit from them. You could put a 200% tax on this item as a commodity and afford to give all of the people on it pensions. Give them pensions like you would a school teacher or something else like that.
Yeah, so I would go that far.
I would because that way you're going to attract quality people, right?
Will you?
Yes, absolutely.
I heard a comment in the back. What was
that? She says that they should pay teachers first. And I'm like, look, this is a different subject. So this is a completely different subject. I'm just saying in terms of this, could you imagine like all these terrible roads out here with potholes and stuff like that fixed, and it's fixed because some incel who, you know, was like on the internet, he would be on the internet complaining about the Joker 2, you know, or something like that. But instead, you know, he lightened up because he got to go to a prostitute. Done. You know, I'm like,
oh yeah. So one day when they
let's end that trend.
Yeah. End that trend. He's like, let's also start fucking, let's start the Purge.
Oh, God, yeah, no, I would have troubles with the Purge. You know, I would have to have some sort of strong alliances because I can't afford to have, like, really nice protection on the house and all that. And I'll be like, I know there's going to be some bitches gunning for me. Like my sister's going to show up. She'll be like, you remember that time? And I'm like, oh, shit.
Your sister.
I do remember that. Oh, shit. But I imagine you would be going after yours.
Oh. I would, I would definitely have eyes on my back for my sister because I know she'd be gunning for me.
Woo! Remember that time you hit me with a brick? I do remember it. Yes. Those trends can end. I mean, this has been an interesting segue. We went from stand-up comedy into trends that need to end, and
a little bit
about the Mando.
There's still many trends that need to end that I'm just like, they could stop now.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because I think we're seeing the rough decline of the YouTuber and sort of like YouTube culture. Like, I'm not the big influencers seem to all be canceling themselves, you know?
Well, that's because I think at a certain point, people get tired of the same shtick. And you can only put out so many YouTube shows of the same thing. You're like, okay, I'm done.
Well, you and I say that, but I mean, how many of these guys literally made their careers by playing Minecraft and shouting at the screen? So it's like
that's stupid as hell.
Those kids are now getting older, you know, and they're moving on to other stuff and all that. And that's why it's like I think we're going to see the decline of like these cult of personalities like Jake Paul and stuff like that. Even he's moving on to other shit.
Yeah.
No, he's still making daily content, but it's like he can't do what he used to do and train to be an MMA fighter or a professional wrestler or a boxer, which he will never be.
Well, talking about YouTube, another thing that needs to fucking just die is the stupid staged shit that they're pretending is real.
Yeah, that goes back to like America's Funniest Videos and all that. So it's like,
oh, I know it does, but I'm talking about even shit that, like, I get funny videos when they're trying to do that. I'm like, okay, whatever. But even the ones that aren't funny, they're trying to be dramatic or anything like that. I'm like, this isn't a fucking reality TV show. Calm down.
No, I'm with you because I've seen some of that stuff with like the fake crying and, or like forcing crying and stuff like that. And I'm like, knock it off. I'm like, I want to hit you.
It's like, or check him. He's cheating on his wife. I'm like, yeah, like he doesn't notice the giant camera that he's being filmed with.
Oh, God. Do you remember that show Cheaters that used to be on like after Cheaters the fifth,
great show.
After the fifth wheel? Yeah.
Yeah, Cheaters was a great show. I still watch it.
Yeah, I remember not having cable, so all I could watch at night was like Blind Date, which they had like the little pop-ups. I'm Roger Lodge. Welcome to Blind Date.
Blind Date was amazing too. Yeah,
Blind Date, The Fifth Wheel, and then you'd have Cheaters on, and I'm like, all right, it's time to go to bed. Cheaters is on.
Dude, Cheaters was so hardcore. Remember when the host got stabbed?
Yeah, I do actually.
That's how you know that shit was real.
Yeah, that was messed up. That was a hardcore show, but.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit, that guy, he just stabbed him.
I do believe he is stabbed.
Like, this shit ain't staged.
I think I saw Leon Phelps on that a couple times.
Yeah,
I'm with you for trends. That's mine. I think like the I'll call him a YouTube evangelist. You know, something like that, because most of the ones that like my kids follow and stuff like that, they don't follow anymore. And anytime I've ever listened to them, I felt like a grizzled old man because I'm like, this is literally 4 20-year-olds shouting at a game of Minecraft.
Yep.
And literally they're just shouting. That's all they're doing. Like, oh my God, farts, you know? And
I'm dude, like, the sad part is like, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old. I find myself being more like Red Foreman now.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting around like dumbass.
I mean, I think that's one of those parts that's like relatable for people of our age. And it's just like, he was a dumbass.
Well, you wanted to, okay. And things that they need to bring back, dude, they need to bring back some great comedy, like sketch comedy shows.
Yeah.
Written shows. I'm tired of reality TV. Reality TV needs to die.
That's why I thought that 90s show was such a cool idea, because there's no sitcoms anymore.
No, there's like,
there's none. I mean, Big Bang Theory ended and they've got Young Sheldon, but does that even count?
No, Young Sheldon's not.
It's shot like a drama, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean,
I will take even scripted drama shows these days, because there's just so much reality TV that I'm like, first of all, it's not reality, and it's all staged shit. They just film it like reality, and it's just annoying. So
all the best stuff is either like your HBO or Showtime, like that kind of stuff. Where it's like, did you end up watching any of The Last of Us?
Oh yeah, I watched the season finale.
Oh, you did. Okay, so I mean, that's the thing. It's like, that's the hottest thing in entertainment right now.
Yeah.
Right. I played the game. I like the show. Like, my wife loves the show. She lives to deep dive and look at the Easter eggs and all that shit. Like, she's all about that. So that's like, that is the prime example right now of the hottest thing. Post-apocalyptic, kind of zombies, you know, just like Walking Dead was, you know. So it's like, it's essentially taking that with different actors and actresses and just saying, hey, this was the most popular thing before, let's turn it into this,
show. It's that meme I sent you, dude, where they're just like, every show now is just Pedro Pascal collecting orphans.
Yep, that's it. That's all you need. So, you know, until he takes that helmet off again, he's not in that suit on Mandalorian. So
yeah, well, I'm sure, yeah, they got the feeling. But yeah, I mean, there are some good shows that are not reality, but yeah, like King of Tulsa came out. I love that show.
Yeah, I have yet to watch that. You said it was good.
Yeah, King of Tulsa was great. I love that.
I like The Offer. I thought that was amazing.
The Offer was good.
That was probably my favorite thing I watched last year, like, period. Yeah.
There was that new show on Peacock from the guy who wrote Glass Onion and Knives Out.
Was that the murder one that he was talking about last time?
Yeah, he came out with that series. That was actually pretty good. There's a lot of guest stars on that one. So that one was pretty good.
You know, what we've neglected to talk about is the contributions that Apple TV has made to the comedy world. Because, like, Ted Lasso is the funniest show on TV.
You know? It is. Did you watch the season
premiere? No, I'm waiting for this one. So
okay. I'm not going to ruin it then.
Yeah, just don't ruin it for me.
I'm not going to. I mean, I don't think I could ruin it for you.
And actually, tomorrow I get to watch the next episode of Shrinking, which is also really great.
And they also have one of my favorite shows, Mythic Quest.
I've not watched that. That's a good show.
Dude, I love Mythic Quest.
Oh, I should check that out then. Definitely.
Yeah, it's got the guy from It's Always Sunny.
Oh, Charlie Day or?
No.
Mac?
The guy who plays Mac.
Okay. And
yeah,
he buys a soccer team, and Ted Lasso is the coach. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a great show. You should watch that. Yeah, watch Mythic Quest. It's pretty
Rob
funny.
Something, right? Is his name?
Rod McElvey or McElfoy or I don't know, something like that.
Nice. Yeah, no, I will check that out. I checked out that space show, To the Moon or something like that, with Billy Crudup. Did not care for it. And Hank Azaria is in it.
Huh.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, this is such a slow burn, and I just don't get it, and I don't really care.
Dude, Hank Azaria's best show to date is Brockmire. That show was gold.
Yeah, Brockmire is pretty interesting. Let's see.
Dude, the first episode of Brockmire is the best. And he's just like, yeah, and she's sleeping with my wife.
My wife is a dirty, dirty whore.
Welcome back to the seventh inning, and my wife is a giant whore.
If there's any cheating like my wife, I will just lose it. I think that we're primed to see like another return to like some of these SNL actors, I mean, the Chris Rock show was really funny. The Everybody Hates Chris.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe
I love Everybody else. Hates Chris.
Yeah, and I mean, there's what, like 6-7 seasons of that?
That's honestly,
like,
no,
that's
I don't
like
think
an entire Malcolm in the Middle. You know, it's like
I don't even think it made it 6 or 7. I think that show only actually made it 5.
All right, 5's still pretty good.
Yeah. Another and we're getting a Community movie.
Yeah, you had said, you know,
but I'm honestly not sure I'm looking forward to it, because like Donald Glover's not going to be in it, Chevy Chase isn't in it, you know, all the people from the original show.
I don't know. I mean,
I loved Community, the show, but even that show, as it went on, I was like, you guys need to end because it's not good. Like, the last season's just not good.
Is Always Sunny still going?
Always Sunny is still going.
Wow.
But
they're
even
like, they're like the Supernatural of comedy.
They're the Simpsons of scripted TV shows.
But, oh wow, no, that's pretty fair. We're running long here, so we should probably transition into Week in Geek. But
much covered my Week in Geek while we've been talking about this. So.
But didn't you say you started watching something from episode one?
Oh yeah, I did. Started watching Supernatural from episode one because I was looking for something that I'm like I can have on in the background. I've watched majority of it already.
How far are you? And because I'm interested, when does it transition from them doing like a weekly monster hunt to something else?
Kind of like season two. It starts.
Is it two? Okay, because I've watched up to season three, and you know, like this is like Matt and Shannon's thing. You know, like they've seen everyone. Shannon is like the biggest super fan I've ever met. Yeah. So besides Raven, apparently, but the wrestler. But you know, I may go through it. I love the Scooby Natural. I thought that is one of the best things I've ever seen.
Oh, that was a great episode.
It's so good. But I don't know.
It's a good show. I'd like to get into it. The graphics and stuff, yeah, they're cheesy CW graphics stuff, but the show's good. I like it. I'm on season three.
CW always did a lot with what they had. Like, if you go back and look at Smallville, that's a good freaking show. And
CW did
Superman and Lois.
Arrow.
Superman and Lois is a great friggin' show. Like, if you start watching that one. Flash is good. You know, it's formulaic. You know what you're getting. You know,
Dawson,
it's fun.
Dawson's Creek. Gilmore Girls.
You know what? Can I end that? Can I end that trend? Is that a trend I can end?
Yeah. Well, it already kind of has, so we're okay.
Okay. So I don't have a stand-up comedian that I hate, but I hate that. Whatever that formula is, with just like two cackling people at each other, you know, it's like you can end that. That is
for the Kardashians.
If I could remove one thing from existence, it might be that show. You know, like just drop like antimatter on it, and it's like it's gone. It never existed.
Well, I do have to. Well, first of all, for Supernatural, I do want to bring up one thing. I've watched it. I'm on season three right now.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? I still want to try to figure out what the fuck these guys get money because they don't work.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because it's like they always have gas, they always have money for burgers and pie and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's
they always got a hotel room,
stay in a hotel room. I'm like, are they funded by like a secret organization that their dad worked for?
I don't know. Like,
I felt like Dean said something like that.
Like, I've been watching it just going, they never talk about how they get money.
Did you get to the episode with Linda Blair yet? I think that's season
that
three.
That was the Linda Blair episode. Was actually, I just watched it right before we got on the show.
Nice. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. But one movie I did watch, I forgot to bring it up. I did watch Woman Queen or King. Woman Queen. King.
What did you
with
think?
Viola Davis. Is all right. I brought up and we're laying in bed, I brought it up to the wifey there. I said, the reason that this movie is so long and talking is because that's what women do. And that's probably how they won the war. They just talked them to death till the men were like, we surrender. That's why they were very good. Fighting.
I'm going to say a joke here that I learned from my grandfather, and it's a bit misogynist. So you know, just in case, you know, you may not want to say this in the right company, but I want to give you this. This is words of wisdom from at the time, is a 75-year-old Polish man. He says that there, and this is a joke in my family. We tell it all the time
when,
you know, mom is running long or anything else like that. We go, there's these two women, and they both were sent to prison for different reasons, and they sit there as cellmates, and they talk to each other. Every day they'll talk about this, and they'll talk about that, and they'll talk about the weather and the birds and whatever and what they're going to do when they get out. Until one day, many years later, one of them is getting released. And just as she's about to get up, she turns around to the other woman and goes, oh, yeah, one more thing. You know? And it's just one of those things. And it's like, Yes, it is misogynist. I am not denying that. I am merely quoting a joke from my grandfather. So, you know, he was a simple man, but he had his ways about him. So,
hey, I made the joke about the reason that these women warriors were so fierce is they just talked the men to death.
In Sinbad, women be talking.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, I mean, he said shopping, but still.
She thought it was hilarious because, like, even the movie, I'm like, do they ever fight in this movie or do they just talk?
I saw like in the preview, she was doing like some sort of like dance with like a sword or something. And I was like, this looks a lot like Black Panther.
It definitely had like Black Panther vibes.
Did she take a heart shaped herb?
No,
no, there's nothing like that.
Well, I mean, supposedly this is a true story, but yeah.
I mean, like, The Mummy is loosely based on a true story. You know, I mean, like, come on. Yeah.
You mean Brendan Fraser?
Yeah. You mean Academy Award winner Brendan Fraser?
You mean Short Round isn't based on a real life kid?
I'm sure he was. I mean, you know, wasn't he based on like another kid that Steven Spielberg adopted?
Yeah. I don't know, probably.
He's all like, I can't believe you make me work with your wife. Dr. Jones, who this?
Just thinking about it, fucking Mr. Chow from fucking Hangover is just Short Round grown up.
Yeah, he's just tall round now.
Yeah.
Why are you so fat? I love it though, dude. Ki Kwan, you know, I met him in 2015 at a Comic-Con, right? I walked by his table. He was sitting next to Larry Kenny, who was the voice of Lion-O from the Thundercats. Mm-hmm. And on the other side was John Wesley Shipp, who played the Flash's father in the Flash, and he played like the original Flash and the father on Dawson's Creek. So how about that? And next to him was Kevin Conroy. So literally boom, boom, boom. Quiet, super quiet guy. This was in Connecticut at Mohegan Sun and all that, you know, just like super quiet, very like, oh, thank you, you know, like non-assuming and all that. And he talks about like how he quit acting and all that and like did all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, this is an amazing story. And I'm glad he won, because I thought that when you watch the movie, you'll see it's like he plays so many different versions of the same character. It was such a great performance, and I really liked it.
Yeah. I'll check it out one day. I'm just in the John Wick mood, so I'm waiting.
Yes.
As you know, I was premature on that. I was like, I'm going to see it this weekend, and you're like,
looking at that because C2E2's coming up, and you said that is out next week, which is what, the 24th or 25th?
Yeah. 24th,
I will probably want to go with you. So, I mean, no doubt. Like, I want to see that. I want to see Shazam. I want to see that.
Yeah.
I do want to see Cocaine Bear, but I'm probably going to wait for that to go streaming.
I do want to see Cocaine Bear, Ray Liotta's last movie.
I cannot find this damn Onyx the Fortuitous and the Talisman. They took it down.
Yeah, it's not there anymore and all that, but it'll probably pop up again.
Yeah, on streaming.
He's making his rounds at all the film festivals right now. So,
yeah, I, you know, it's funny, like just watching the videos and stuff. I'm like, he's mired in horror. So,
yeah.
I imagine it's going to show up on like Shudder or something like that before it shows up anywhere else.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like I said, if you're a fan of the Onyx YouTube videos, you'll be a fan of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna watch it. It looks like that Studio 666 type thing. So,
it basically is. It basically really is.
I have like the world's shortest Week in Geek this week. Two things. First, issue two, The Lost Years, The Last Ronin, The Lost Years came out. So that's out. Read that like midnight when it came out on.
Hey, who's that old lady?
That's my old lady.
I just saw her walk up the stairs.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, that's the Woman King. So. And the other thing, I watched 40-Year-Old Virgin last night.
Oh, that's a classic.
You know, I'm so glad that there was no one else in the room so I could just enjoy it. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, the best thing about that movie is literally the bickering back and forth between Seth Rogen and Paul Rudd. And it's like everything else, it's like, you know what? if nothing else in this movie, just that. And then you add in, it's like some of the Steve Carell stuff is like really funny.
Yeah. Dude, like, that movie is so great and has some great quotes and stuff. Like even the Leslie Mann, dude, I always do the Leslie Mann when I go out. I'm like, I just want some fucking French toast.
French toast. Yeah, she played an iconic character.
Well, I cannot return it to its sheath until it has bled blood.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Banks in that, you know, he's like, can I help you? I don't know. Can you help me? Oh, yeah, it's like I can't believe what you said worked.
Dude, the speed dating, fucking Seth Rogen sits down, he's like, how could you do that to my friend? And then she's like, what are you talking about? I've changed my number.
Mindy Kaling, dude. Yeah.
That's like her only role I can really like her in, but yeah.
She's been in a ton of those. She was in the Night Before.
Yeah, like I said, I can take her in small doses.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, she was all right. It's, you know.
But dude, I'm just talking about that speed dating, though, when he sits down and he's talking about Paul Rudd. He's like, how could you do that to my friend? He's like, what are you talking about? I changed my number and I moved twice. He's like, I didn't know that.
I did not have that information. I'm sorry. He's like, say what you want, guys, but that gyno was pretty interesting.
Yeah, the speed dating scene where the fucking tit pops out and stuff.
Yeah. My favorite part of the movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Somebody's ass gonna get laid tonight.
Yeah, and Kat Dennings is in that. And I mean she was like, oh my god, you know, like just like the dramatic teenager. It's like, and the other thing, David Koechner's in there. The boy really prefers vaginal. He really does. It's like, I'm like, oh man, this is the year after Anchorman was made. You know,
yeah.
Friggin' champ kind. Whammy.
Yeah, dude, the 40-year-old virgin was great.
Yeah, that's a rewatch. You know, dude, I would challenge our listeners to go and watch that on Hulu.
Wasn't that Jonah Hill's first role too?
Yeah, it's like, I'd like to buy these boots. I don't think that was his first though, because
I have money and I would like to give it to you for these boots.
Was that before I know it was before Superbad, but was that before Grandma's Boy?
Yeah, I think it was.
Wow, okay, cool.
Or maybe it wasn't? Like, dude, I can't remember.
I don't know, but I'm just gonna tell you, like, Grandma's Boy is probably like one of the biggest cult hits, I think, of my
Grandma's Boy is one of those movies that people are always like, what the fuck is it? And then when you watch it with them, they're like, that was great.
I got this box, right? It was like one of those band boxes and all that. And it came with a Crucial Taunt shirt. And that's why I had to get it. Cause I'm like, yeah. I have a fucking Crucial Taunt from Wayne's World shirt. That's awesome. And it comes with a pin. And I'm like, what the fuck is this pin? Then I look and it's the guy in the Matrix jacket. He goes, yeah. I wish you were a robot. You know, like that guy, you know, it's him from Grandma's Boy. And I'm like, yes.
Sit on my face.
And where's the other thing I got? I have a foam ball, and it says the Beers on it from friggin' basketball, which is probably my favorite thing that those guys have ever done. Like, more so than even any of the South Parks.
Yeah, basketball was great, but yeah, dude, Grandma's Boy fucking.
Oh, Grandma's Boy rocks, man. It's so good. I would put that movie up against like any of the others, like around it. Like, you know, it's better than Little Nicky. Sorry, Matt.
Oh,
you know,
it is
better than Little Nicky. You know, it's better than like.
Would you like an ice cream sandwich on whole wheat? Even I'm not high enough for that.
Are you the devil?
I once gave Charlie Chaplin a hand job. He's silent.
Indeed. That's pretty good. I mean, that's good. And like I said, I didn't have a lot else this week. I don't know what the hell I've been doing, just looking for work and stuff. So, you know, didn't really do a lot.
These are the times where you should be consuming more.
Yeah, I should, but I've been busy, you know. You're like, what, doing what? Doing what? And I'm like, I do stuff.
Yeah. He's like, I spread my butt cheeks on OnlyFans. That's
yeah. My concho. I'm gonna start one that says my concho. With that probably leads us to the end of the episode, because now we're getting slap happy. But you can check us out at Geek Life HQ on Twitter, because we're still on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, Geek Life HQ. We've got a robust community there. Make sure that you listen to the episodes and, you know, thanks to everybody out there. Buck, I know you're listening. Daryl, you know, our buddies out there, you know.
Yeah, and our overseas people.
Yep, yep. To that I say, you know
what that and happy St. Patrick's Day, you fuck faces.
Yeah, you animals. I should put this out tomorrow, so.
It's the luck of the Irish. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta.
Hoi-ta-toi-ta-toi. Where are you going to go? Ireland. Going to get a leprechaun. Oh, wait. On that note, we'll catch you next time.
Yeah. Later.
Do you have a hankering for horror knowledge?
We have such sights to show you.
Do you require raging retro reviews? Do you desire discussions with devastatingly dashing dorks?
Too hot or free, baby.
The Dorkening Podcast Network has nearly 30 shows to satisfy all of your nerdy, geeky, and dorky needs. From horror reviews and celebrity interviews.
Hi, I'm Adam Green, the director of the Hatchet Films and the star of Allison.
Hi, this is Dominic Pace, who played the bounty hunter Gecko from The Mandalorian.
Hi, I'm Mike Price. I'm a writer on The Simpsons. I co-created F is for Family.
Hi, guys. This is Dee Wallace from E.T. and Cujo.
Hi, my name is Kurando Mitsutake, director of Gunwoman and Karate Kill.
Hi, this is Samantha Newark, the voice of Jem and Jerrica from the original Jem and the Holograms cartoon series.
As well as nostalgic trips into the past, pop culture, the latest in entertainment news, and so much more. Featuring a variety of shows and hosts that will simultaneously enrage, enlighten, and entertain you. Check out the Dorkening Podcast Network.
My mom says I'm cool.
Available on iTunes, Spotify, thedorkening.com, and wherever fine podcasts can be found.
Are you a fan of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comic books? Then Epic Tales from the Sewers is a podcast for you. We cover the comic books, video games, movies, cartoons, and anything else turtle related. We talk about the toys, we talk about the cereal, we talk about all the fun things about turtles that we love so much. So give a listen. You can find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and more. Check out Epic Tales from the Sewers, part of the Epic Airways Podcast Network. Give a listen, dudes. Cowabunga is this podcast for you.
Greetings! We are the Retro Redoctopus Cephala Podcast, a bi-weekly show that celebrates all the things that made growing up awesome.
He's right. We wax philosophic about lots of geeky crap like old video games and movies, toys, cartoons, I don't know, help me out here.
Music.
Pants.
Quoting video games that don't have dialogues.
Shabibers.
Tasty news.
Unnecessarily long Japanese onomatopoeia.
Butt breathers.
Uncomfortable nature facts.
Or how to install a samoplange.
And unlike all those other podcasts, we at Retro Redoctopus have an exciting rotating host schedule.
Do we?
We sure do.
So, if you didn't like the guy flapping his gums this week,
like me,
worry not, gentle listener. Next week, we'll have a whole new host.
Of problems.
Hey, they might still suck, but they'll suck differently.
And you know what's really cool? Retro Redoctopus is part of the Dorkening and Inebriar podcast networks, with new episodes every Tentacle Tuesday.
Which is like every other Tuesday. We named it.
Anyways, you can listen to us at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or any podcast player cool enough to carry the only show that celebrates all things that make growing up awesome.